give us a summary, we would be very happy. But let's give you then the time to present, Nexa, and we hear what are the members' concerns, questions, and all that. Over to you, Theo.
Sure, thank you. Just to, at the outset, my chairman, Mr. DiPietro, did apologize, and he's not well today. He had an operation, and he's still convalescing, so he was not able to join us today. Just to continue here with the presentation, we're just going to divide it into five areas, and I'm mindful of the fact that you said that we should summarize, but we'll spend some time on each of these areas and do it as succinctly as possible. I'm going to cover the technical issues and mandate, and then I'm going to call on some of my colleagues to go into their specialist areas. Nexa derives its mandate from three frameworks. The most important is the Nuclear Energy Act of 1999, which gives the broad framework and establishes the corporation, also specifies how a whole range of nuclear matters should be dealt with within South Africa. Then in 2008, Nuclear Energy Policy, adopted by Cabinet, gives Nexa two broad areas of responsibility. The first one is research and development, and the second is support in areas of fuel and manufacturing in the nuclear new build in South Africa. So that's the Nuclear Energy Policy of 2008. And then there are a range of directives which the Act mandates the Minister of Energy to give to Nexa. For example, the safeguards responsibility is delegated by the Minister to Nexa. There's a number of international obligations with the International Atomic Energy Agency, waste disposal, decontamination, decommissioning of historic nuclear facilities, etc., etc. And those are directives conferred by the Minister. Just some highlights. We've divided our areas of activity into three clusters. We've done, as the Nuclear Energy Policy required us to do, techno-economic feasibility studies for the nuclear fuel cycle. We provided input to the Department of Energy's IRP2 public consultation process, and we'll provide further inputs during November. We've established the Nuclear Manufacturing Center, and we have made good progress towards accreditation as an ASME 3 level manufacturer. We would then be the only company in South Africa which could manufacture within the nuclear envelope. In other words, there's a lot of talk about localization, but actually if a nuclear plant had to be built tomorrow, there isn't a single South African company that would be allowed to manufacture components that have contact with nuclear material within the reactor. Nexa will be able to have that accreditation by early next year. We've had to deal with the drastic downsizing of the PVMR program and have brought on some key skills on board at Nexa. It was one of the reasons why, if you look at our annual report key performance indicators, manufacturing performed worse than we had projected it to do. And that's really because we didn't get the work from PVMR that we were expecting. Radiation products and services cluster, this was the big performer. The NTP group revenue was nearly 800 million rand, and that was 46% better than budget, which we're all extremely proud of. We also became the world's leading global supplier of medical radioisotopes. Conversion of Safari 1 reactor to low-enriched uranium fuel was achieved. We also were well on our way towards low-enriched uranium target plates as well, and those were achieved not within this financial year we're reporting on, but within the current financial year. And we developed the so-called Oscar 4 reactor code calculation system and won the National Science and Technology Forum Award for innovation, scientific innovation by a South African organization. We also to be allowed to do nuclear work, you have to put in place a whole range of systems, and our safety, health, environment and quality system was upgraded to fully comply with the nuclear regulatory requirements. Emergency control center was upgraded, and we played a vital role during the 2010 World Cup in protecting South Africa's ports of entry and stadia. In fact, every time you came through a South African border post, unbeknown to you, you were scanned by Nexus staff during that period. We invested $26 million in refurbishing and upgrading of the site infrastructure and $15 million in the improvement of research and development infrastructure. Trained nearly 600 full-time students, equivalents at the Nuclear Skills Development Center at NEXA, and we received full accreditation as a decentralized trade test center from the CHITA, which is the chemical CETA. And you can read in the annual report about 8 new innovations, technical innovations completed during the past year as well. We have, and I won't go into the details here because presumably the department has dealt with a range of their objectives and alignment with those objectives, but we have, in our view, fully aligned ourselves with the DOE's objectives as stated in the 2010 ENE program for associated services for promoting R&D in the field of nuclear energy and radiation science. Those objectives in turn, the DOE's objectives in turn, are aligned with the South African government's strategic outcomes and priorities, and we have impact in a number of those priorities, transforming the economy, building social, economic and social infrastructure, strengthening the human skills base, improving the health profile through the isotopes, enhancing African and international cooperation, sustainable resource management and use, and building a developmental state, including improvement of public services, strengthening democratic institutions. Another highlight, localization of nuclear manufacturing. We were really, if one looks at this purported Eskom new build, you're spending, and one doesn't really want to put a price on it, because as soon as you put a price on it, the potential vendors will simply say, well, that's the price you said, and they may be able to do it for cheaper, but Eskom has said $426 billion. Even if we get 10% of that through localization, that's $42 billion. Huge numbers of jobs, and one of the real drives in NEXA at the moment is to upgrade our nuclear manufacturing capability. Let's go. That's just a picture of us making a pressure vessel. Environmental performance. There's a comprehensive environmental program in place. We comply to water permit requirements, so no reportable events occurred. Significant decrease in releases from the stack, the chimneys, in other words, at NEXA. We managed to still decrease electricity use by 2.2%, but we increased water consumption because of the increased production of radioisotopes, largely use of Safari reactor. Some priorities for 2010-11. Responding, obviously, to the IRP2, we were pleased about the strong role given to nuclear in it. Developing nuclear manufacturing, completion of a low-enriched target-based development program, development of NTP's role in the U.S. isotopes markets, and I'm pleased to announce that last week we won a $25 million grant from the U.S. government to develop that role over the next 3 years. So that's it didn't happen during this financial year, it just happened, but we did the preparatory work in the last financial year. Launching of the Nuclear Science Center, and then including nuclear security training course in the Nuclear Skills Development Center. One of the skills we want to develop there is nuclear security training, which is different from other training. The conventional security guard is not always trained to look for nuclear material. The South African police call upon us when there's a suspicion of uranium theft or theft of nuclear material. So we need to develop that capability of training not just ourselves, but other arms of government in nuclear security. I want to hand over to Dan Markey to briefly take us through the human resources aspects.
Thanks, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. I will try to move fast, but I have to be, if I can speak very fast, no one will hear me. In terms of the indicators that are in the report, Nexus staff complement increased from 1.870 to 2113 during the past financial year. Number of people who were employed were contract workers, mainly to, these are retired, some of them are retired engineers, scientists, to mentor the young graduates who don't have experience and coach them. We have also increased the number of female employees from 508 to 608. Black employees increased from 986 to 1151. The target for last year was for black employees was for 49%, and it was exceeded by 3%. And in terms of SHEC, the work days lost due to disabling injuries improved by 5.6% as compared to the previous year. And with regard to the total injury reported during the last financial year, there was an improvement by 17%. And in terms of the Nexa executive management, the composition of the Nexa management, executive management, if you exclude the CEO there, you have, for the first time, I think, in the history of Nexa, have an equal representation of male and female there. It's 50-50. The person who's spoiling our representativity is our CEO. But nevertheless, I think we are doing very well in that regard. In terms of the training interventions that were undertaken last year, we had a very successful mentorship and coaching program, and we have massified this year because I think from the evaluation that we did last year is that both the feedback that we got from the mentees and the mentors were very happy with these interventions. There are challenges like in any mentorship program, but the results were very positive. The graduate support program, we had 18 graduates who were fresh from universities and they were given on the job training. They are part of Nexa. After they complete this, they are absorbed by Nexa. They are paid salaries. 136 students to do their honors master's programs. TBMR bursary holders. Once a decision was made that PUMR was going to be closed, or there were those rumors, so to say, we agreed with them to, in the interest of the sector, to absorb all the bursary holders who were sponsored by PUMR. We have interns to graduates that were in the system. These were the number 14. Apprentices that were trained 24. With regard to low-level employees who didn't have metric or have qualification below metric, we trained 66 of them with English, and both have met the requirements, and for maths were 30. And over and above that, we developed learnership with the Medellin, and 79 learners were met the requirements. So I think back to you.
To Mbali, just to sketch the financials, which are obviously well elaborated in the report anyway, but she's just going to highlight some trends here for us.
Okay.
and thank you, Madam Chair, and honorable members of the full committee. I just want to highlight the trends from the sales. We're starting from 207 and to the budget for this financial year. We moved from 516 to 621 and to 1041, and then we stabilized in our sales for the budget. And the government grants, they move from 345 to 527 for the budget. The finance income has deteriorated because of the reduction in the call rates. They move from like 9% to almost 5.5%. And then the personal expenditure, if you can look at them, is the almost equal to the grants that are above. And other expenditure, they like almost consistent. And then for the group, we achieved a profit for 164 million. And if you can move to the next group. Okay, for the next corporate, the trends have been like steadily increasing as well, but not as big as the group, because in the group we had NTP which was contributing a large amount. And then the government grants are similar to the group. And then we receive dividends from NTP. You can see the trend. And financial income is similar to with the group. And total income as well has been steadily increasing. But we didn't. If you look at the financial year, the reporting period, we had a loss of 81 million after tax profit. If we can move to that now. Okay, the highlight for the auditor's general report, we've got an unqualified report for 2009-10 financial year, and then but we have emphasis of matter. There was a significant uncertainty relating to taxpayer status. According to the Nuclear Act, we got an opinion that we should not be paying tax. And in 2008, we paid, we declared profit, and then we paid some tax, but they refunded it. The matter is still with the South African Revenue. They're still deliberating on it. And then the second one is restatement of corresponding figures. We changed our accounting policy for land and building from a cost model to a fair value model. So we had to restate our figures. And we had material impairment of investment in subsidiary. One of our major subsidiary, Pelchem, didn't do well. So our investment was 116. It moved from 116 to, it was impaired to 99 million. And then the last one was the contingency liability relating to pay as you earn. That was relating to the travel allowance. And I would like to hand over to Rob for other financial constraints.
Chair, just to elaborate on those, the Nuclear Energy Act says that NECSA itself doesn't pay tax. But the PTY companies, which are subsidiaries of NECSA, do pay tax. And, you know, which is a nice division between the research and development aspects and then the commercial aspects. SARS, although they granted the non-taxpaying status of NECSA in the previous year, seemed to require it to be affirmed every year. And that's why the Auditor General made that statement. We've got a range of new mandates, you know, from the nuclear energy policy, and our concern is that they haven't really culminated into increased baseline funding, although both the Department of Energy and NECSA have tried very hard in order to acquire that funding, and we just have a slight orange light on there, you know, if there's an expectation that we leap forward when there's an announcement of an Eskom new build without some investment being made before that happens. Similarly, relates to the second, to the two bullet points below that as well. Not always an alignment between the IRP process and the national budget process, so that you have an IRP which is finalized at the end of this year, and then the budget's already finalized for the next year or so, and so you only really get into the budget process a year after the policy is finalized. So that's just a remark in terms of how things could be better aligned. We've had to reprioritize funding in order to begin preparing for this, so that we've begun to do it anyway. Obviously, that's placed some pressure on us with respect to other areas, in particular the refurbishment of infrastructure on the site. And again, this is not a complaint, because we know that all institutions have suffered because of the lack of performance of the global economy, but we've had our baseline reduced by 207 million over the MTF, which is, you know, significant, and nevertheless more things are expected, and there's a, you know, even though we've done well commercially in the NTP area, one shouldn't lose sight of the other areas too. So there are some implications, I think, for the future. You know, we have limited capability to invest in urgent upgrading renewal projects, challenge to retain highly skilled nuclear staff, not now that they can't get a PBMR anymore, because there isn't a PBMR to speak of, but certainly there are big new build programs happening in other parts of the world, and we certainly hear reports of South Africans heading in those directions. Training can be impacted, and then we have to obviously to channel money into ensuring that there are no risk and safety performance issues, and that's a drain on the rest of the budget. I think I've said most of that. I'd like to hand over finally to Chantal Janneke to deal with CIS marketing and communications issues. CSI.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honourable members. In terms of NESL's community outreach program, we all know South Africa hosted a successful FIFA 2010 World Cup soccer earlier this year. NESL's contribution to this was radiation monitoring services, and our CEO mentioned earlier that of the role that we played. In terms of this, we recruited 63 people who were obviously trained, and after the World Cup, we have appointed 20 of these 63 people as radiation protection officers. NEXA has an emergency services unit, which obviously serves our facility, but in addition to that, we serve the surrounding community. And in terms of this, in the last reporting period, there were 122 fire calls, 221 ambulance calls, and in terms of vehicle accidents, we assisted with 152 of these. Continuing, NEXA's school outreach program obviously is focusing on addressing historically disadvantaged Dena Lady schools in terms of maths and science. Our subsidiary NTP also has a similar program which focuses on schools in the area. If we look at the Falkirk area, we have what we call PSIF, stands for Public Safety Information Forum, and we have a training agreement with them in terms of transferring technical skills to the Kamiesberg municipality. This is facilitated by NEXA's nuclear skills development staff. And in addition to that, we also employ an educator at the Carcomas High School, and he teaches maths and science. Over the last period, we've had 11 students from that area that we've offered bursaries to, and they have received training at the center as well. Next is Visitor Center. This is one of the key marketing tools going forward in terms of improving public perceptions on nuclear energy, which is obviously a huge challenge, not just in South Africa. Madam Chair, in our annual report, we've stated that we were going to have the launch in September this year. However, due to quality constraints, we've delayed the opening until the new year. Early this year in August, Nexus supported the DST program in terms of Science Week. During this time, we had about 2,000 learners from about 41 schools. In addition to this, we have schools and universities that visit Nexa on a frequent basis in terms of science and physics. Thank you.
Chair, we are available for questions now from the committee.
Well, thanks for the report. It is fairly with the delegated powers. Everybody said something, almost. We're still waiting for the invitation for the visitor center to open as per promise. But
you'll get one, certainly. The issue is that some of the deliverables were not to our liking, and we apologize for putting something in the annual report that it would be finished by August this year. It will be finished by the end of the year.
No, that's okay. We thought maybe you've forgotten about us. You went ahead with the launch. You felt members of parliament are not stakeholders. But now you clarify that. No, you take us as part of the stakeholders. Members, here's a report from Nexa. Any question, comment? We just agree. Oh. I see Ross and then Honorable Mutau, Tindo, and Khaled. That order.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Yes, I see, Doctor, that it's 46% better than the budget, your income. And that's commendable. It's not often that we hear it in the circumstances. That's well done. And then also you have also, I think you've claimed something in terms of the medical isotopes that you sold. There was an award to you. I didn't catch that amount that was awarded to you.
That was, in fact, a tendering or bidding process that we entered into competitively with a range of other companies. And we heard last week that we will, over the next 3 years, be given up to $25 million to deliver on achieving that level of spec for the U.S. market.
Is that a grant from the U.S. government?
Yes.
That's wonderful. Okay, and then there's also another achievement of the Oscar IV reactor calculation system. You've achieved something on that line.
That's a competition that's run every year by the National Science and Technology Forum, and different awards are given. You submit a portfolio,
yes.
and there's a panel of judges, and they judge your product in terms of technological innovation. So it's not a financial reward, it's a prestige award.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, yes, and then in terms of responding to the IRP2, you're delighted that there's a huge role given to nuclear, of course, but you mentioned something about Eskom. I'm sorry, I also missed that one. You mentioned something like 42 million or billion. There was a comparative figure, and I'm not quite sure in which context you mentioned.
One hears all kinds of figures about how much this program's going to cost, you know, it will cost some hundreds of billions, and what I was simply 426 is one figure that we've seen, but it could cost a bit more or a bit less, who knows. What I was simply saying was that, you know, if you take 10% of that very large number, that's even a very large number.
And so
if you take 10% of 400 billion, you get to 40 billion, and that's a significant amount in terms of local manufacturing work available.
Chair, order, Chair. Can we just have a question as we used to, you know, answer questions so that we know we'll save time. Thanks.
Yes, but I agree with my colleague. Let me just get to the last one. Thank you, Chair. The financial constraints, it's 207 million over a period 2010-2011 and up to 2014. That's time is of the essence, it seems, and it needs to be addressed in a budget as soon as possible. That would be my last question.
Yes, Chair. You know, what's happening is that, or maybe you can
thank you, Chair. Still with money matters, a couple of things jump at me. In the annual report, the AG's report is quite okay. And thanks for a clean one. The matters for emphasis are really things that don't bother me so much. But I'm bothered by what I see on page 169. The director's emolument. The non-executive director's pay has stayed steady, but when I get to the executive director's pay, there's a huge jump for one R. Adam, and there's another one for W.Z. Devalier. I just want to take those top three. I think there's been some restructuring with the other two, but that big jump for our Adam, how can that be explained to us? Because I think it especially if you think of the fact that we have now, it comes just before the PBMR disappears, and we've got to try to reconcile those two. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. You know, one of the challenges that NECSA have is the retention of the highly skilled nuclear staff. What is the problem? Is it maybe your pay is not interesting? Do people come and leave?
All right. Thanks, Chair. My question is related to your slide 10, where you speak about the, you know, your 10% participation. You know that you estimate that it can be about 42 plus minus 42 billion. My question relates to the job opportunity that will be created there. Whether will it be permanent or, you know, contracts? Because, you know, I'm looking in terms of the issue of sustainability afterwards, then what will be able to happen. The other question is that, actually it's a comment. I wanted just to congratulate you on the award of that $25 million grant that you received. It really shows that you are really giving your whole effort in ensuring that at least you represent us very well as well. But the other aspect relates to the HR processes that I haven't heard you speaking about the issue of disabled people. I'm trying to also check whether I'd be able to look and consider it, because disabled is not means wheelchair. I can be, you know, the other disabilities, different disabilities that you can be able to consider as part of your strategy here. And also, I'm trying to check in terms of the Auditor General's report. The reinstatement of correspondence figures. I just want to check in terms of what
What policies did it follow? Was it a grab, or which policy did it follow in terms of the question of it? Lastly, well, it relates to the issue of the schools that were invited to come and participate. I'm trying to check in terms of the spread, the demographic spread of those schools, because we must be able to check whether which areas have you been covered, which areas have not been covered, so that at least there's a consensus that everybody gets an opportunity, not only one particular sector that gets that opportunity. Thanks, Chair.
The 207 million, I mean, I would also express some concern that during a time we're supposed to be preparing in terms of the IRP for a significant role, there's a cutback. And we understand clearly the circumstance that the country faces, and this is not a gripe session, but it's also unfortunate that there is this coincidence between problems with the fiscus and ambitions that we have with respect to a new program. So I just wanted to state that. With respect to and again, this is, I'm answering this aware of the fact that there might be a perceived conflict of interest in my answer, since the question related directly to me. But the salary package was redetermined after my first contract with Nexa ended. I also, as was stated contractually in the first contract, at the end of that contract, if I met certain key performance indicators, I was entitled to a bonus. And so for the 3 years of the first contract, I received limited bonus, but at the end of that 3 years, I was then given an amount determined by the contract if I met certain KPIs. And so what you see there, the 2.6 includes a rather larger bonus than you would see in the previous year. And that was something which was stated contractually in terms of the first employment contract. And then there was a review by the board of the salaries of CEOs in similar institutions, such as the CSIR. And that I was then given an offer, and which I accepted, which was an increase over and above what I got in the previous contract. So to go to issue of the 42 billion, you know, there's going to be a range of, and we're in this for the long haul, eh? The 42 billion is not in 2 years, it's over 20 years. And it would have to be to build capacity. You're building if you look at what's in the IRP, if we go with that, you're looking at increasing the nuclear infrastructure by a factor of five. You'd have roughly five equivalents of Kuburg. And if you're going to do that, you need to build for the long term. So I would imagine that there would be some contract appointments, but there would be a range of permanent ones too. The issue of disabled people, I mean, we have at Nexa, and Dan, you can come in if you want. We have people in wheelchairs, and those are people we use specifically, people who can't move about easily, to look at, from a security point of view, at monitoring screens. We use other types of disabilities and other capacities for areas obviously involving nuclear safety, dexterity that operators require in a radiation environment. you can't use people who are, for example, impaired in terms of their sight. But one looks creatively at where to fit people in. The issue of the restatement of numbers, it was, well, we changed our policy. Instead of valuing the buildings in terms of what they cost us, we revalued them in terms of current land and building prices. And so that was a change in accounting policy. So what the matter of emphasis means is that the Auditor General is simply drawing attention to this matter so that the public and the committee and Parliament can see, okay, this company has changed its accounting policy. The matter of emphasis is not a negative thing, it's simply drawing it to your attention. Final question, the demographic spread of the schools. Chantal, I mean, I think that the schools are in Attridgeville, they're in the environment of Nexa, the Ennis-Tabong school is by and large black school. Then there is the school in the Northern Cape, the various schools that we support, and those are by and large attended by coloured students. So, because that's the people that live in that area. I don't know how many schools we in fact support currently there in the Northern Cape. All the schools there, yeah. So I think generally there's a fairly broad spread over where we find ourselves. But it's generally in around Nexa, we support schools in the immediate environment of Nexa, and around Falpitz, where the waste disposal site is, we support those schools there. What's that all? The issue of the scarf turnover, the issue of salaries, I think the issue of salaries is less of an issue than it was, because in the economic downturn, you know, people are not able to say to us, actually, we're not paying properly. In fact, we are compared to the market. And so I think in the 2 years ago, we could come and say that the salaries are too low. I think that they're probably about right now for the market. I don't think that we would say that they're too low.
Just a follow-up in terms of the question I asked, just to contextualize it. With the background that we've had, you know, the public service strike, I raise this just to raise awareness. This document now is in the public domain. When Mr. So-and-so of Kusato or whatever sees this thing, and he sees that the CEO of Nexa has got this, what appears on paper, this whopping hike, and yet the government can't give me 8.5%. This is the context, so that you guys can appreciate that. It's really just to raise the level of awareness that these kinds of things get picked up.
Thanks, Nexa. I always believe that business without vision and protection, it's like a South African without a job. Because whatever you do must be planned on the basis of what you wish to achieve. Your page 10, it gives us a lot of hope. I know it's difficult to say precisely at what stage and when are you going to be able to roll out the kind of job creation or employment that will come as a result of this projection of 20 years. But are you in the position to can say to us, one, I'm a layman, I don't understand what this ISO 9001 stroke, what, ask me, use stamp certification means. I don't know what kind of certificate to do what. Firstly, but secondly, that this expansion program estimated at this amount of money on a period over up to and including 2030. Is it a wish list or is it something that is cabinet approved, something that is in the pipeline? And if it is, has it been started or is it to start? If so, when?
Thanks, Chair. I don't want to be probably biased in terms of this issue, but I'm looking in terms of, I heard you counting only two provinces, Gauteng and Northern Cape, in terms of the schools that you're supporting. I'm looking in, that's why I was saying, in terms of your democratic spread. I'll want to submit a recommendation that you should look in this one of these rural provinces like Polokwane, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, that doesn't have a university, you know, so that at least you also provide support and encouragement within those students. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for this wonderful report. And I must commend you for helping those people who are always complaining about the waste that is in the Northern Cape. And that makes the people feel that there's no danger there. But if they are left alone and no one is employed there to see what is happening, there is going to be a problem. And also I must congratulate you to the students that you tried to upgrade there. It's a wonderful thing because what I'm looking at the last when we went to CIRS, what is it called? In I think it was in 2003 there, when we got there, they were all old people who were retiring, and I'm seeing your team has still got lots and lots of years to go on. Thank you.
Okay, it's fine. But I hope we're not giving another hard time not to get the rest. As reported last year, that you were getting the good people, and because the regulator don't have the other sources that we have, then they suffer. So I'm not sure whether you managed to deal with that relationship, because you are like a cousin brother sort of, that you need to work together and not have poaching mechanisms between the two of you. I hope that has been sorted out.
So, I mean, I'm not aware that then of any staff movement from the regulator to us in the last year. We've given them some staff, but we don't mind that because they need to learn. They need to get experience of a nuclear environment, otherwise they can't regulate us properly. Mm-hmm. So we don't object to that. The issue of other provinces, you know, obviously we concentrate in the provinces that we operate in. But in the science week, we do have some reach beyond that. But I take your point that if people in Limpopo and Eastern Cape don't have the chance to know what nuclear is, then that puts them at a disadvantage. I didn't quite, and I don't want to misunderstand the question because I saw what can happen if you say the wrong thing to my people too. So I don't want to misunderstand the question. And I think that the question was that the promises of jobs and the new build, and is that real? Now, the Nexus staff itself, you can see, has increased by about 300 over the past year. So we have created jobs. Now, look, when the new build comes, if it goes according to the...
Can I clarify myself?
Yeah.
Because I realize that the engagement with the previous presenter has created disharmony between me and the presenter. there's no intention to put anybody into.
I wanted to understand the question properly.
Yes.
Perhaps I gave an answer which was misaligned to the question.
Yes, I speak with appreciation to the report as it is in front of us. That we see activity going on, and reports, of course, telling us of the hard time that Nexa has gone through, the fall of the PBMR and so on, where you had to lose people that you so dearly needed in your company and so on. But looking into the localization of nuclear manufacturing, as it is reflected in your slide number 10. You see, one of the things I appreciate is that we're getting a history of the development. We are where we are, and slide number 10 is dreaming ahead, putting a nice dream that if things go well over a period of 20 years, this amount of money could be spent to make Nexa a much bigger company in terms of local manufacturing of nuclear. Now, what I was saying was to find out whether this is enjoying support of cabinet, because we're talking here billions of rand, hundreds of billions of rand. If the project and the projection is enjoying cabinet support, can we start dreaming to look at the Nexa as a future big nuclear company for local production and local use? And if so, is anything already happening, or is it just still a dream of this happening? And if something is happening, let's rejoice together. If nothing is happening, do you need our help as a committee or our assistance in assisting you to pursue government, particularly cabinet, along the lines of ensuring that financial resources are put into the project of making Nexa a success in the local nuclear manufacturing?
The Director General could possibly help us here with respect to what Cabinet thinks. I was saying that with respect to cabinet processes, it maybe that she's closer to those. But certainly the amount of money mentioned here would go beyond Nexa. Nexa would certainly be in a very strong position and play a very strong role. Nexa is the statutory organization in South Africa with respect to nuclear technology. There will be other companies in manufacturing that must play a role. It's too big a program to be confined to simply Nexa. Will it happen? It will happen if the new build goes ahead according to the proposals in the draft IRP. If that doesn't happen, then it won't. But I mean, if I were to put money on it, it will happen. But at this stage, there are two hurdles to jump over. The first one is the approval, ultimately, of the IRP. And the second is the financing and the planning of the program. And once that happens, then all this money does become available. I think none of us are naive enough to think that the entire 400 billion, or whether it's 500 or 600, who knows, would be spent here. But the objective would be to enable as much of it as possible to be spent here. No, I wouldn't say that. I would say it's a plan as opposed to a dream.
Okay, safe to say that on the RP2, I think there's quite an addition to the nuclear, not like before. I mean, there's an increase in terms of what you want to do as a country. So I think that also will play a key role in terms of your future and your way forward. You are all happy. Okay. All right, it seems the CEO says he must be careful. No, CEO, I think we don't compromise on, if you tell us something, tell us the truth and only the truth, so that we can then have a better relationship. It's better to build a relationship based on truth rather than lies, because that has got other implications and other consequences that we don't like to see. So if the challenges stay the challenges, then I'm sure we can share how it goes. But I think as of now, you seem to have a good report to the committee, and we still have to finalize the second leg of our visit to Nexa and Petro SA. Where's Petro SA? Bambe bonke. No. That is outstanding. We will deal with it. We'll see whether to do it end of November or next year, I'm sure in January. If we manage to go to France, then we'll take it. Because we feel that we have to have a better understanding and see how then your operations are in full. So that as we deal with oversight, we don't think. We've seen all the processes. But we're impressed with what we saw in February. And hope that you're working on that. I mean, we're really impressed. For what we saw in Nexa and PetroSA, but we still have to do then the follow-ups. But thank you, and hope that we will check on some of your projects. They also have their projects that they mentioned.
Yeah.
You mentioned the projects, Nessio and your team. Chantel, you mentioned projects. Yeah. The center. The center is fun. We'll witness the opening, but it should get much more. And also, I think we still talk the same issue. Please, within your budget, try to make sure that you educate the masses, the people, more people about nuclear, so that it can't be a challenge all the time. We're talking about lots of issues at the committee last week, next, about the special assignment programs. I think you only spoke once there. I saw you speaking once. The rest was the staff and whatever. And to me, it was not giving a balanced type of debate. And it should be both sides, and it should be more on some of those problems.